Please open with me in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 18, Luke's Gospel chapter 18. And we'll read again a few verses here, verses that we're going to consider this morning from verse 9 to verse 14. Luke chapter 18, and we'll read from verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We'll just commit this time in prayer. Lord, we do come to this time, the preaching of thy word. Father, we do plead that you would speak to us. O God, we have the book open before us. O God, we pray, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. Father, may we learn something afresh today of our blessed Saviour. Father, come near and bless at this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now this passage we have here in Luke chapter 18 is one of many parables that Jesus spoke. And the Bible records that when Jesus spoke parables, he did so that the people could understand him. And the Bible records also that the common people heard him gladly because he spoke in parables. And in this parable, as we consider it this morning, we notice that Jesus speaks of two men. He speaks of a publican and a Pharisee. And I want you to notice with me, as we begin to look at this passage, that these two men, there were some common things about them. Notice with me that both men went up to the temple. And both men prayed. And both men addressed God in their prayer. And yet when we read this account, despite all this, only one man went down to his house justified. Only one man went down to his house right with God. Only one man was righteous in the sight of God. And the question must be asked, how was that to be? And yet, this is a remarkable thing as we read this parable. And yet, we must understand here in verse 9 that Jesus spoke this parable, as he says, to those who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. And isn't that a very good description of men and women in the world today? Those that trust in themselves that they are righteous and despise others. And isn't that what we see in people who despise Christians? Who despise the gospel, who despise the way that God has taught in his word for us to be saved. And this parable is addressed to those who trust in themselves. And isn't that what we hear today? Isn't that what we hear from society? People will say, well, I don't believe in God. I trust in myself. I'm quite comfortable with the way that I live my life. They will say things like, well, a God of love couldn't send a good person like me to hell. There's no way that the way I live, I do good things, I give to charities. Surely I'm going to get to heaven. Isn't this what we hear so much today? And not only do they trust in themselves, but they despise those that believe in God, people like us. People who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and renounced good works. Because we know that we have none. You see, these people despise God and they despise his people. And they will not accept the ways of God. And so this parable is a message for us today. This parable is addressed to those who have that attitude today. And you might be in the meeting this morning and that might be your attitude. And you might believe such things. And so I want you to pay attention to the Word of God. Because this parable is addressed to people today. And I want to show you today from God's Word that it doesn't matter what men say is righteous. But it's what God says is righteous. And God alone. You see, I want you to notice with me in this parable firstly, the prideful Pharisee. In verse 11 and verse 12 we have his prayer. He says, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess.'" Now when we look at this prayer is the prayer of a prideful man. A man who even thanks God. And consider this today, a man who even thanks God for supposedly being less of a sinner than other men. What a prideful man he was. A man who, as he prays, you can read it in the text, the pride comes out. A man who is so prideful. And I want you to notice two things about this prayer. It was a man-centered prayer. You see, this Pharisee was comparing himself to others. He says, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are." And there's this man praying and he considers other men in the world. And he says, "Well, I'm not like an extortioner." That is, a person who gets things by force and by threats. He says, "Well, I'm not like the unjust." That is a wicked and a treacherous person. The heathen. Those who reject God. And he says, "Well, I'm not an adulterer." And thus he looks into the world and he sees these people and he says to himself, "By this standard, that I'm not like them, well, I'm pretty good." And he justifies himself. And he says, "Well, I'm not like other men, I'm better than they are. Therefore, I must be good." And can you see today, this Pharisee has no thought of comparing himself to a holy God. He doesn't look to God. He looks to men. And as he prays, he even, as it says there, even as this publican. You can imagine the setting. There he is in the temple praying. And he looks over and he sees the publican. Who is in contrition, who is broken over his sin. And he says, "Well, I'm better, and look at that man there. I'm better than he is." You see, this man is comparing himself with other men. And instead of looking to a holy God, he's comparing himself to sinful man. What a fool he is. And he's made himself a righteous man. He's declared himself to be a righteous man. But can you see the problem with that today? Can you see that if we declare ourselves to be righteous based upon what we see in other men? How foolish that is. Comparing ourselves as sinners with other sinners. You see, this man has no thought of the things of God. And so many today do that, do they not? So many will say, "I'm a good person, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this." How often do you hear it? And so you'll say, "Well," and you might be here today and you say, "Well, I'm not a drunkard, I'm not an adulterer, I'm a good person." But my friend, if you haven't compared yourself to God's holy law, and that is the point. You see, we must compare ourselves to God's holy law. And when we do, we find that we've missed the mark. We find that we are liars. We find that we are blasphemers. We find that we are Sabbath breakers. Why is it this church is not packed to overflowing this morning? It's because men are Sabbath breakers. and they despise the things of God. You see, we will never ever see our sin until we compare ourselves with God's law. You'll never see it. You see, if we look to other men, we'll think we're going well, but when we look to God and we see His law, all of a sudden we see how far we've fallen short. We see how far we really are sinners. We see how far we really have been degraded. And that is why men hate the law of God. Men hate the preaching of the law of God, because it is the law that exposes men. You see, the Apostle Paul said that it was the law. It was the schoolmaster to bring him to Christ. It was the law that showed how vile he was. My friend, that is what shows us how sinful we really are. But this man, he doesn't look to the law. He looks to others and he goes, well, I'm doing pretty well. But I want you to notice, secondly, it was a self-praising prayer. Because this Pharisee, he tells God of all the good works he does. He says there, well, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And there he goes, he begins listing all of these good things that he does and praising himself for his own works. And we see the extent of the pride of this man. But here he is praising himself. He's not being praised by other men. He's actually praising himself. God, look at how good I really am. That's what he's saying. The extent of the pride of this man. And it's almost as though he expects and almost demands of God that he will accept him because of his good works. Such is the pride of this man. He's almost demanding of God, look at what I've done. Surely you accept me. You have to accept me. You see, this man is relying on his own good works and he's praising himself. But you see, that is not what the Bible teaches. And oh, that men and women today would understand this fact, that you cannot. And yes, it's been repeated for 2,000 years of church history and beyond, but you cannot be saved by works. But you know, this again has to be repeated, because men are still believing it today. The fight that Martin Luther stood almost 500 years ago in the Reformation is still on today. Don't be deluded by that today, dear believer. Salvation by grace alone, in faith alone, in Christ alone, without works. The battle is still on, because men still believe that they can be saved by works. And yet the Bible says, by grace you are saved through faith and not of works. It's a gift of God. And I repeat that today, because as I say, men still believe it. Men still try. And if you're here today and that is your condition, let me urge you to completely turn away from that attitude, because you will fail. You see, the Bible says, by the deeds of the law can no man be justified. No man. And let me tell you this from the testimony of Martin Luther, that above any man, he tried the most. That man abused his body. You read the stories of the monks and they used to flagellate their backs. They often found him out lying almost half dead in the snow, almost naked. The way they lived, the self-abuse, in an attempt to reach heaven. And yet that man realized it was futile. My dear friend, did I hope that you realize it's futile? Because it is. You see, you can't become a Christian by external Christianity, by doing good works. It's not going to work. You see, it's by trusting in Christ alone. But here we have this prideful Pharisee, and that is what he is relying upon. He's relying upon his own good works. But there is another man in the temple this day. And I want you to notice, secondly, the prostrate publican. And we read this in verse 13, we have the prayer of the publican, and it says there, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." This man, this publican, he was a tax collector, and these men were reviled in society. They were reviled by the common people because they went about and they gathered taxes from the people, and they were known to be very unjust people. They were known to be liars, to be thieves. They were the lowest of the low in society. And yet when we look at this publican, he prayed in a totally different way to how we've just seen the Pharisee pray. Now, I want you to remember that these men had something in common. They both prayed. They were both in the temple. But here we have a totally different prayer. And I want you to notice three things about this prayer. I want you to notice his humility. His humility. You see, this publican, he wouldn't even look up to heaven. He was ashamed of his sin. And as he prays, it's as though he's so down on his sin, he so realizes how sinful he is that he won't even look up to heaven. And there he is, beating upon his chest. And that was a sign of humility and contrition. This man is broken. This man is aggrieved by his sin. This man is aware of his own depravity, to the extent that he is showing it in a physical manifestation by beating upon his breast and not even looking up to heaven. Such is the humility of this man. But you know, we read in Isaiah 57 and verse 15 that God is the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, who is of a humble and contrite spirit. That is the heart of this man. He's humble, he's contrite. My friend, that's the one that God dwells in. It's not the prideful one. It's the one who's humble. It's the one who realizes his sin. It's the one who realizes there is no good thing within me. This man is humble. But then I want you to notice his acknowledgement. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so here he is. He acknowledges before God his own condition, that he is a sinner. He confesses before God that he is a sinner. And there's no taint of pride here. There's no self-righteousness in the man. He is totally aware, and he confesses his own sin before God. You see, this is what we read in Psalm 32 and verse 5. Psalm 32 and verse 5. The psalmist says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. That's what this man is doing. And my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Let me ask you that today. Have you ever confessed your sin to God? Acknowledge to God the state that you are in, the lostness of your soul, the depravity of your heart. Have you ever done that? Have you ever got to that position as this man has, where he so and realizes how much of a sinner that he is, that he says, God, I am a sinner. Have you ever done that? You see, it's needful for you to come to that position. But then I want you to notice his plea. Because he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here he is in prayer and he's pleading to God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that word there, mercy, merciful, it means to atone for sin. To be merciful. To be propitious, to make reconciliation for. And so this man is there and he is realizing that there is only one hope for him. There is only one hope for him, and that is the mercy of God. And have you ever come to that position? Do you realize that there's only one hope for you? The mercy of God? You see, this man has come to an end of himself. He's like that prodigal son who's in the pigsty, and he's come to an end of himself. He's realized there's no hope for me except the mercy of God. And so he pleads to God. He says, God, be propitious to me. God, have mercy upon me. God, make reconciliation for me. And consider the scene. This man is in the temple, and he would have seen the sacrifices, and he would have seen the blood being spilled, he would have seen the animals being slain, and so he would have known of Christ. And in a sense, what he's saying is he's looking to Christ, and he's saying, God, be propitious for me, make atonement for me. He's looking to Christ for to be cleansed of his sin. That's what this man is doing. You see, he realizes his sin is against God, and therefore he must seek the mercy of God. And do you realize that today? That your sin is against God. Your sin's against God. And so you need the mercy of God. That's your greatest need. And have you ever come to the position where you realize, I need the mercy of God? Friend, it's the only place you can come to be saved. You see, dear friends, today Christ is the only one who can atone for your sin. He's the only one who can reconcile us to God. You see, the Bible says he's made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world. And isn't that what we need? We're at enmity against God, but we need one to reconcile us. And this man is praying, and he's looking to Christ, and he's saying, God, save me. God, have mercy upon me. I know that you'd come to that position today, to acknowledge your sin before God, to be humble before God, and to plead to God to save you, to plead the merits of Christ. You see, Christ is the one who's died upon the cross. Christ is the one who's made atonement for sin. He died upon the cross. He gave his life, as the Bible says, for the ungodly. My friend, if you acknowledge your sin and repent today and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in Christ's work upon the cross, praise this man, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He'll save you. That's what the Bible teaches. But then I want you to consider finally with me the pronouncement of God, or the pronouncement of Christ. Because in verse 14 we read, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And I want you to notice that little phrase, I tell you. You see, here Jesus Christ makes an announcement. He makes a declaration on the two men we've just been considering. And this declaration of Christ, it cuts through all the debates and opinions of man. And you can imagine if we set this scene before men today, there would be much disputing as to who would be justified. Some would say, well, the Pharisee, well, he had some good works to show. And others might say, well, look at the publican. And there'd be disputing. But Jesus Christ, he steps in here and he makes this declaration. And he says, I tell you. And therefore he is saying that it matters not what men say. Because Jesus says, I tell you. Here God, here Christ is making a declaration. And he says, it is the publican. It is the publican who goes down to his house justified. Now this is contrary to what we would say, isn't it? If we were to read this parable, we would probably say it was the publican, the Pharisee. We would think the man who has shown such piety, such good works, surely he's the one. But Jesus says no. He says, I tell you, this man, the publican, the one who confessed he was a sinner, we all know he's a sinner. But it's this man who goes down to his house justified. Now this tells us something of the nature of justification. Because justification is a legal declaration by God. It's as though here Jesus is saying, I tell you, and that is what justification is. It's a legal declaration. This man is righteous in the sight of God. So you see, justification means that you are righteous before God. Declared righteous before God because of Christ and his righteousness. So that's what it means. You see, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse 10 and 13. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10. And we read there, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Isn't that a marvellous verse? But there's Jesus. And he's saying, I'm not come to call those who think that they're good in themselves. I'm not come to call those who say I'm good enough as I am. But he says, no, I've come to call those who are sinners. I've come to call those who are like this publican, who know they're sinners. He says, I've come to call them as sinners to repentance. And that's what sinners need to do. They need to repent. Isn't that marvellous though? But I want you to see here as well, the publican went down to his house justified, but the Pharisee was not justified. And let me say that to you today. There are those who will be justified, and there are those who will not be. There are those who will be righteous in the sight of God, and there are those who will not be. There are those who will enter heaven into the glories of the presence of Christ, and there are those who will not. And that is the stark reality for every person in this world, that there will be those who will be resurrected on the day of judgment, and there will be those that will be just, and there will be those that will be unjust. And I ask you again, which of those are you? You see, Jesus is showing us here that there will be a division. There will be those who will be justified and there will be those who will be not. And you see, when Jesus says here, he says, this man went down to his house justified. What does that word justified mean there? It means to render or to regard as innocent. To render or to regard as innocent, to be righteous. Now think of that, dear believer, this morning. Think of your sin. Think of the way that we have lived our lives and we know our sin. But here Jesus is saying, and what a wonderful thing it is that in Christ, when we've been justified, God renders and regards us as innocent. What a blessed position that is. Forgiven. Cleansed.
You see, what a wonder that is to be justified. But my friend, if you are not justified, you are still under the condemnation of God. You're not, as justification means here, to render regard as innocent. You're rendered and regarded as condemned. You're rendered and regarded as wicked. You're rendered and regarded as deserving the wrath of God. And doesn't that concern you today? Do you see your need of Christ? My friend, these are serious things. We're talking about eternity here. We're talking about whether or not you and I will go to heaven. We're talking about whether or not a person will be justified before God. These are serious things. My friend, today, do you see your need of Christ? Do you see your need to be justified? In conclusion today, I don't want to ask you whether or not you think you're a good person, or whether or not your friends say you are, but my question for you today is, what is the pronouncement of God upon you? Because that is what matters. Or yes, we might declare ourselves to be good, and people around us in the community might say, well, there's a good bloke. But the most important thing is, what is God's pronouncement upon you? Because this man, this publican, God's pronouncement upon him was, he was justified. But what's God's pronouncement on you? Does God see you in Christ justified? Is that your standing before God? Righteous? Or does he still see you in your sin? Does he still see you worthy of judgment and hell? My friend, today, run to Christ. Because it is in Christ's righteousness that we need. His perfect righteousness. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He was pure. Absolutely pure. He never sinned. And so he went to the cross as a just man. And yet he took our sin upon himself and suffered upon the cross. My friend, today, you need Christ and nothing else. You see, you need to be justified. You see, we can only be justified in Christ. We can only be justified if we're covered in the righteousness of Christ. And so today, would you be humble like this publican? Would you acknowledge your sin? Would you say today, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? If you're not a Christian here today, that's what you need to do. It's as simple as that. My friend, today, would you repent and cry out to God for mercy? And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. See, that's what justification means. To be not condemned. To be in Christ Jesus. Redeemed and saved for all eternity. And with the assurance and hope that we can face death and know that we're right with our God. To know that our hearts are prepared. To know that we're ready to face God on Judgment Day. Are you ready to face God on Judgment Day? My friend, we might think we've got time. You young people here today, you might think you've got your life ahead of you. You don't know how long you're going to live. We have no idea how long we're going to live. My friend, would you consider eternity today? We're so caught up with the things of the world, aren't we? We're thinking about what we're going to do next week. We're thinking about the events of life and we forget eternity. Would you consider the state of your soul today? Would you consider your need for Christ? My friend, would you do it today? Confess
with your mouth Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Amen.